You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Julie and John were not an atypical couple. They were very typical for where they were in life. They got married and were madly in love with each other, expecting that feeling of love to always be there, that feeling of passion to always be there. But along the way, they both had jobs, they both had financial responsibilities, they both had hobbies they pursued, they started a family, they got involved in their life, and suddenly one day found themselves very frustrated with each other, very angry with each other, and thinking that maybe their marriage was not the right thing. What had they missed? What part of the puzzle had they missed in this process? Why had it gone so wrong? Why had their love, their passion that they once had, that went once shared together, why had it gone awry? Well, that was the question that brought him into my office, and it was a question that seems to be a basic question I get from many couples today, where they find that they thought that life was just going to go on. As one person said to me, that, you know, they thought once they got married, you know, the happily ever after would just happen, and that's not the case. Unfortunately, we all fall into the trap of letting other priorities get in the way of our main priority, our most basic relationship. And when that happens, what begins to fall apart is what I want to talk about today, and that's connection. You know, when people ask me what needs to happen in order to save a relationship, I talk about connection, and I keep emphasizing the need for that connection. That's no different today, but today I want to go into a little bit about what I mean by that connection. This is Lee Baucom, and today on the Save the Marriage podcast, we're going to talk about what connection is about and how it fits into a healthy relationship and a difficult relationship. If you could find a place to kind of key into the story of John and Julie, then you're going to want to listen today to discover what I mean by connection. So let's just back up a little bit and talk about connection as a science. We humans are built for connection. We are built for a need to be connected with somebody else, and there's no other relationship that carries the level of connection capable than in a marriage. In fact, when we make that promise, we are making a psychological commitment. Remember those vows to forsake everyone else, to be together through thick and thin, no matter what the day brings. That's about being connected with someone so tightly, then what happens from the outside world doesn't matter. That what's going on in the health and wellness and wealth and lots of other areas of life don't matter because you've made a commitment to be with this person regardless of what happens. So psychologically, there becomes a bond, and that bond is so tight that there's no other relationship that comes close. You know, a lot of people say, well, what about my bond with my child? Because I feel so connected and bonded with my child. And my response is, you feel the connection with your child, but your child, their job is to grow beyond that connection and find another connection out there. So it really is just between spouses where we make that promise to be together. So what is that about? Why is that? Well, we humans have the capacity of not just bonding like other animals do. There are some animals in the animal kingdom that bond for life. And we have a capacity that goes beyond that because we're able to express emotions with words, not just with actions, not just with some physical connection, but with words and with sharing dreams and possibilities and values. And that's the bond that's created. More than that, there is literally a physical bonding that takes place. There's this molecule in our body, this hormone, oxytocin. And oxytocin is considered to be the bonding hormone because when it's released, it makes us feel more connected to that other person. It makes us feel a connection that is different than other connections. It's a bond that happens both for men and women. There is more of this hormone in women than men, but both men and women release it when there is more than just a casual touch. If you hug someone for a few seconds, the cascade happens for both of you. You both get a rush of oxytocin. And more so when that touch becomes sexual touch, because then it's ramped up on some other hormones. And so that's the bonding that happens. Sometimes we miss that fact, which is why when we're talking about relationships, when they are outside of a marriage, they can be powder kegs of connection, because they confuse us. They cross those paths of physical life that we're not used to the bonding outside of a safe relationship of marriage. And so that creates the part of the crisis that is about an affair, because it feels so tight and so bonded. But let's take it back to a marital relationship, because that's where we want to focus our attention. So we are built biologically, we are built psychologically, and I would argue we're built spiritually to have a connection with somebody else. And I would argue that there are three primary places that we have that connection. We have a connection with somebody on a physical level, on an emotional level, and on a spiritual level. Those are three distinct ways that we can build connection. Now, not every couple has all three. You know, there are couples where, for physical reasons, perhaps one is disabled or paralyzed, or for other reasons, there is not a lot of physical connection. The connecting between them physically is limited, but they share an emotional bond and a spiritual bond. There are lots of couples that have a physical connection and an emotional connection, but never quite get to the spiritual connection. So let's quickly define what I mean. Probably the physical is the most self-evident. Physical connection is any physical contact that is loving and caring towards somebody else. And so it could run the whole gamut between holding hands, stroking somebody's arm, all the way to intercourse, all the way to making love. That's kind of the physical connection. And we find that physical connection by hugs and by lots of different contact with a spouse or with somebody. And then there's emotional connection. And emotional connection is when somebody feels supported, when their emotional life feels supported, and when they're supporting somebody else's emotional life. There's a back and forth. If I'm feeling supported and I'm giving support, the bond is strengthened for me on both of those, both giving and receiving. A spiritual connection is when we're sharing our deepest desires, our biggest goals, our greatest depths of understanding of the world. This is our philosophical and spiritual level. When we're talking about our religious beliefs, or when we're talking about our spiritual understandings, when we're talking about our life dreams, we've entered into the realm of spiritual connection. There are some couples who never get to that level of connection, but that's another level of connection. And so if you take it from the most fear-based all the way to the most aspirational, then the most fear-based is physical, in the middle is emotional, and then on the most aspirational is spiritual. Let me say what I mean by that. When we are under threat, when there is some sense of threat, we respond very well to physical touch. When I teach scuba diving, one of the things we teach is when there is an accident, when there is a crisis, the first thing you want to do is establish physical contact, because it has an instantaneous calming effect that begins to lower the fear response. And so the physical connection is most tightly pulled to that fear level of life, that when things are at their worst, if you watch a natural disaster, you'll see people huddling together and holding each other, trying to get the physical connection where words don't even count, where they can't even express how their emotions are or what their spirituality is at that point. They can connect on a physical level. In the middle, that emotional place is kind of a neutral zone. Friends can emotionally support each other. Spouses can emotionally support each other. And so there's a place there that's fairly safe. And then there is the deeper area, the most aspirational, when we're sharing the connection, the spiritual connection. So that gives you kind of a platform to understand where the connection is in your relationship. You can kind of begin to judge, where is the disconnection? Is it on a physical level? Has the touch gone away? Or is it on an emotional level where you no longer support each other? Or is it on a spiritual level where you don't share your dreams, your hopes, your desires, your aspirations with each other anymore? Well, what happens in the process? Let's talk about the process that can lead from a connected relationship to a very dangerous relationship. And by that, I mean that the relationship is at risk. The first step down is disconnection. This is the feeling of distance, really, of kind of being out of sync with your spouse. If you've had that feeling where, you know, you just don't feel quite on, that can be a feeling of disconnection. And usually at that stage of disconnection, it's easy to turn it around. It's just about figuring out where the disconnection is, finding something to do to reconnect, whether it's improving the physical connection or the emotional connection, or even venturing into the area of the spiritual connection. Sometimes when people feel a little disconnected, they can have a date night together or read a book together, or pick up a hobby together, and that will lead to a new level of disconnection. However, if it goes beyond that, it begins to be a little more difficult to establish the connection. For instance, the next stage would be disinterest. So after feeling disconnected for a long time, one may even lose their interest in connecting with a spouse. So at first you're feeling a little disconnected, and after a while that hurts so much, the starving happens at such a level that there's just not even any strength to do it, and there's just disinterest. At that point, the other outside interests can become a threat to the person. So you might start looking at the hobbies of a spouse and the other friends of a spouse and feeling threatened because your connection is gone. You have some disinterest, and yet you're seeing the connection that they have is going somewhere else. Then there's another step down, and that next step down is disregard. After you lose interest, then you begin to disregard each other. You don't even take the other person into account. So somebody might have a hobby, and where before they might have planned it around the family activities or the spousal activities, at some point they don't even care. There's so much disregard that they just go ahead and do what they want to do and enjoy life because they figure that they have to be independent. And they're also, by the way, trying to find some connection somewhere else. After disregard, the next step down is to disrespect. Now, when somebody has been disregarded long enough and has disregarded the other person long enough, respect begins to fail, and they treat each other in less civil and less kind ways. Over time, you can get a lot of caustic comments, passive-aggressive, or even aggressive behavior. Sometimes there's a lack of cooperation and even an unwillingness to find a mutual solution. They begin to criticize each other more and more, and there's a conflict that is just a verification that at this point somebody thinks the other is wrong, and usually both of them think the other is wrong. After disrespect comes disappointment. As the disconnection grows, then disappointment begins to step in. It's really not so much just disappointment, it's also disillusionment. This is when both realize that the expectations of what they thought marriage is going to be are beginning to fail. At that point, they may stop even trying to change. They just go, you know what, this isn't even the right relationship. And so they start playing the blame game. They start pointing the finger at each other about what's missing. That blame quickly cascades into a focus on the problems of the other person with a failure to notice what that person is doing wrong. Each person begins to look at the other person as the problems. They're so disappointed and so disillusioned. And you begin to self-justify your behaviors. And sometimes those behaviors even add more difficulties to the situation. It may be looking around at other places for that connection because we have such a need for that connection. The next step down from disappointment is dislike. At this point, there may still be some love and concern for the other person, but there really are some feelings of not even liking the other person, not even liking to be around them, not liking to be in their presence, and they see less and less good in the other person. Sometimes these symptoms begin to get focused on negative traits of the other person. It's no longer just about the relationship going bad or the fault of who made the relationship go bad. It's really about something being wrong with the other person. When that happens, that's when we begin to look at is the shortcomings. And whenever we're only focused on the shortcomings of somebody else, we're always telling a story about deficit, which is really a story about dislike. And if you step down one more stage, you go from dislike to disdain. As the feelings of dislike grow and the stories of shortfallings of the spouse begin to increase, the disdain begins to come in. Before that, it was more like a dislike, and now it's mixed with anger and resentment. And when disdain emerges, you begin to have strong feelings of wanting to push the other person away. Now, before they might have been neutral and not sure what to do, but suddenly you want to push them away. And often it's at this point that's clear that there have been other areas of connection. There's been somewhere else that's feeding the connection. It may be another person. It may be the job. It may be a hobby. It may be something else. But somewhere at that point, both people are likely to have begun to invest somewhere else for their connection. Maybe in the kids, could be in family members, parents, lots of other places, friendships, but it's beginning to be about replacing the connection that you can't find. You're so frustrated that you no longer even like that other person. Okay, so we have these three areas that feed the connection, and as the connection drops, you see where we end up. So the best we get is a fully connected relationship, and then you have the cascade down. What I want you to think about are the ways that both of you have found connection through those three. Think of them as three major food groups of connection. Are you feeding the relationship physically? Are you feeding the relationship emotionally? And are you feeding the relationship spiritually? All three of those have to be in place for a fully connected relationship. A connected relationship leads at least two of those to be strongly in play, and perhaps the other one somewhere in tow. As that begins to drop away, that's when we begin to see more and more of the disconnection play out. Now, here's the thing. You can't suddenly go from disdain to fully connected. You have to begin to back up that process and build up the connection slowly in non-threatening ways. If you're interested in learning how to do that in non-threatening ways, I do have some extra training that I'm creating that you may be interested in. If you're interested, all you need to do is drop me an email at lee@savethemarriage.com. That's lee@savethemarriage.com. And I'm going to tell you how to get that extra training so you can learn more about building this connection. This is a good place to begin to decide where you are in that process, where you are in the process of losing that connection. And as you go through those steps, you can begin to isolate where things have begun to fall apart. So once again, just to kind of remind you so you can think through where you are, let's go through those steps one more time. First, there's the connected relationship. Then the next step down is disconnection, then disinterest, then disregard, then disrespect, then disappointment, followed by dislike, and finally, disdain. Where is your relationship in that? Where has it been starved from the connection piece? How has it not been fed by the connection piece? And when you're ready to make the next step in learning how to get more connected, you send me an email at lee@savethemarriage.com, and I'll tell you how you can access the additional training in order to find how to rebuild that connection. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to have a fully connected and fully satisfying marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.